Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Join us for a journey as we go back to the great civilizations of the past. Who were the people? What were they like? How did they begin and how did they end? Let's find out on episode 44, The Rise of Urartu. Previously, on The Fan of History, the Neo-Assyrian Empire entered the dreaded interval, a dark period of decline. Argishti became king of Urartu and expanded the kingdom. Urartu just overtook Assyria's position as the major power of the Near East. So, Dan, what is going on?
Well, we are about to end the 780s BC and move into the 770s BC. And Argishti is the king of Urartu.
Hey, whoa, wait.
What?
The king of Urartu? You always mention the king of Assyria first. What's going on?
That doesn't matter anymore.
What?
Because Urartu is the most powerful state in the Near East.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to take a minute. It's going to take me some time to get used to this. We've been talking about Assyria for so long.
Yeah, those guys are in the interval. Mm. They're fading.
Oh, well. I guess let's continue with Urartu, and we can refocus our attention.
Yes. Argishti is hiding behind great fortresses and mountains, guarding his growing kingdom from the remains of the Neo-Assyrian Empire in the south. And while the Assyrian Empire is busy falling apart, Argishti expands in every other direction. And he is probably the greatest king Urartu ever had. And this is the zenith of the kingdom's power. So Argishti is now acting and he's doing stuff every year, just like the kings of old of Assyria. So in 783 BC, Argishti moves west. And this is his fourth campaign. He marches into the lands of Tuatha, which is what will later become Phrygia.
The Phrygians.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Phrygians and King Midas.
Yeah.
Later in this century. So Argishti claims to have captured two cities, Jurmani and Jadani. And they take much booty, including horses and prisoners. These are all from the Urartian records, because, as I said in last episode, we have the full records of Argishti. And in 782, Argishti does the one thing that is probably the greatest thing he ever did. First, he founds the modern capital of Armenia, Yerevan.
Okay.
Yerevan is still the capital of Armenia.
Wow.
It has its own province in the state of Armenia. In 2011, it had 1.06 million inhabitants.
That's amazing. The concept of cities even close to that old is just, I mean, we have nothing like that here in the U.S.
Yeah, when something is really old in the U.S., it's like 200 years.
Right. It would be a historic landmark if it was 200 years old. And I remember that in Spain when I was there, and you know, they were showing us the city, and they were talking about building a new highway, and they were knocking down this building, and I looked at it and I said, "This building looks ancient. Why are you knocking it down?" And they said, "Oh, it's only like 400 years old." I was like, 400 years? That would be a national landmark.
Yeah, in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, there is a bar that is like 400 years old that I sometimes go to.
Wow.
But we are a little ashamed in Sweden because our capital will celebrate 800 years in my lifetime. And that's a bit young for a European capital. Like London is 2,000 years old.
Right.
So we are like, oh, stupid northerners. We didn't know how to build cities 2,000 years ago.
That's funny.
But this is a very active year, 782 BC for Agishti. He builds a bridge of the Araxes River, and the bridge foundations are still around. He advances up that river until he reaches Lake Sevan, mm-hmm. which then becomes a part of the Urartian kingdom. He conquers a city called Kikuni on Lake Sevan's western shore and makes it a part of the kingdom. He attacks Uburda and captures its capital, Irdua. He invades a kingdom called Kaki. He constructs several huge forts on the way. But the crowning thing he does then is to found the capital of Yerevan. Okay. And we have his own words about this foundation. So now I want you to read for Argishti. When you read for Argishti, use your Assyrian king voice that we have heard before.
Okay.
But now think that you're a megalomaniac king on top of a high mountain, and you're entirely safe, and you're kind of a mountain nut.
Kind of a mountain nut.
Yeah, so give us your best shot.
Okay. Got to think about this for a second. So, I'm a king. I live in the mountains, and I pretty much think I'm unbeatable.
Yeah, you are the best.
I am the greatest. So, let's see. Get position my mic a little closer here so I can sound louder.
And of course, you talk about yourself in the third person.
Oh yeah.
Until you don't.
Yeah. I will talk about myself however I want to.
Yeah, exactly. That's the spirit.
Yeah.
That is Agishti.
Like, by the greatness of the god, Kaldi Argishti, son of Minua, built this mighty stronghold and proclaimed it Erebuni for the glory of Urartu and to instill fear among the king's enemies. Argishti says, the land was a desert before the great works I accomplished upon it. By the greatness of Kaldi, Argishti, son of Manua, is a mighty king, king of Urartu, ruler of Tushpa.
That was kind of an interesting experiment in first and third person, because he talks in third person about himself. Yeah. That quotes himself talking in the first person.
First person, yeah. That's
wow.
That's magnificent.
So I think we'll leave Agishti there for a little while, sitting on top of Yerevan and having the day of his life. And let's move to China, where King Zhuan of Zhou dies. I am very sorry, anyone who understands Chinese or my butchering of these Chinese names. There is a note saying that from this time on, the many lords mostly rebelled against royal commands. We are getting very close to the end of the Western Zhou dynasty. And the Western Zhou kings, they did control what was then China. They were kings in charge. And that is about to end, but not in this episode. There is a legend that King Zhuan killed an innocent man named Dubu. And Dubu's ghost came back and shot the king.
Oh, wow, that'd be something intriguing.
Instant payback.
Nice.
And King Zhuan had tried his best to rule China, but it wasn't enough. And now King Yu takes the throne of the Western Yu. And King Yu is the final king. Mm-mm-mm. I wish I had more about the events of these years. I wish there were records like the Assyrians. And right. If there are, if you know of anything, let me know. That also applies for the 7th century in China. I have very little. But I would love to know more. So this new king, King Yu, he is married already to Queen Shen. And they have a son called Jijiu. And the queen was a very good girl to marry because she has a very powerful father, the Marquis of Shen. So being married to this Queen Shen is a very good political move for poor King Yu. But in the West, the Quanrong, the dog people, has grown powerful once again. And they are threatening the Yu capital. Remember the dog people?
I do.
Yeah, they were beaten up by King Mu in one of our very first episodes.
That was a long time ago.
But they are back and they want some revenge.
Yep.
And we don't have any King Mu now to defend poor China.
It's amazing how fast information travels, even back then. Because clearly they understood that this king was a weak king.
Yeah.
And so they formulated their move. You know, they basically were biding their time until then. You know, I get it now. You know, we got the internet and all that good stuff. Heck, even when we had a decent postal service back, you know, 100 something years ago, that was still, quick information comparatively, but wow.
I'm kind of guessing here, but I think the success of other lesser barbarian peoples mm-hmm. have now inspired the dog people to come back for vengeance.
That makes sense.
But they got a pretty good beating because they stayed away for 170 years.
Right.
So let's jump around as if we were Littlefinger in Game of Thrones and go to Israel.
Yeah, we can just poof wherever we want to be.
In 782 BC, King Joash of Israel dies. And remember, he still has King Amasai of Judah as his hostage.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. What are they going to do with him?
Yeah, I don't know. He probably didn't do much about him, but remember he took those Edomite idols from mm-hmm. Amasiah when he defeated him?
I do.
By the end of his life, King Joash seems to have started to worship the Edomite idols. These Edomite idols are so good. They are like, you look at them and then you are, I should worship these guys. They look amazing.
These are the greatest idols I've ever seen.
There is a record that Joash made his son Jeroboam II co-regent already in 793 BC. But it is Jeroboam II who succeeds as king of Israel. And one of his first acts is to release the king of Judah from captivity. So Amaziah is finally released, and then he goes back to Judah. So Amaziah comes back to his country, but his son has been ruling his country since he went away, so there is some friction there.
I can imagine.
But Uzziah, the son, he goes with the flow. So he welcomes his father back, and they rule together.
Really?
The only fly in the ointment here is that they don't have their sweet Edomite idols anymore.
Oh, no.
And in the same year, in 782 BC, Shalmaneser IV of Assyria attacks the Etua again, this mysterious Aramean tribe. And we don't know what happened. Maybe nothing happened. And then we get to the year of 781 BC, where we have two very different records about what is going on in the Assyria-Urartu area. Because if you ask the Assyrians, Shamshi-Ilu fought Urartu twice in these years, but there is nothing else. We don't know anything else than this from the Assyrians. But remember, we have the full chronicles of Argishti, so Argishti should know, and that's why we are now going to do an interview with Argishti about the years 781 and 780 BC and see what happens. So, do we have Argishti on the line?
Yes.
Hey, Argishti, what did you do in 781 and 780 BC?
I was fighting most ferociously in Bushtu, Babilu, and Persua.
Well, but Persua I sort of heard of, but people today have a problem finding some of the places you talk about in your inscriptions. Are you sure you're not making these names up?
No. They are right over there. And over there. And just to the left of over there.
Oh, so what happened in those ferocious fights?
I took many prisoners in Mana and Bushtu.
Mana? You didn't even talk about Mana first. You're making this shit up.
No, I am not. You have forgotten.
So in those battles, you also fought some Assyrians, right?
Assyrians? I've never heard of them.
But we have the records of the Assyrians, and they say that the great field marshal Shamshi-Ilu fought you.
Who? Shamshi-Ilu? She sounds very hot.
And we will hear more about this poorly documented conflict in the 770s BC episodes. But the situation is dire for the Assyrians. They have one of their worst kings they ever had, Shalmaneser IV, while Urartu has the best king they ever had, Argishti. But another place will steal our focus in the next episode, because in Greece, everything is still very split up. They are recovering, as we've talked about, but people are still living in their small city-states.
Yeah.
And Greece has these high mountains and valleys, and you're very isolated from the next valley. So everything is fragmented. They do have kind of the same religion. They're starting to have the same gods, but they really need something else, something special to make them feel like one big friendly Hellene people. So they want to be the Hellenes together, but they need something. And there could be a solution for that in the next episode.
Ooh.
And that's it for the 780s BC.
That is it. That's a lot of stuff happening all over the world in this one episode.
And actually, next decade, more stuff will happen. And I think this is a breaking point. That the world will be very different after the 770s BC. So I think this is a point where you could like end an historic era. There is no historic era ending here, but I think there should be.
So basically, Assyria was keeping the rest of everything in kind of a constant state of, I don't know what you want to call it. It's like when you, you know, when they have found indigenous peoples, but if those indigenous peoples are in really harsh conditions, they themselves have not basically progressed past Stone Age. I mean, even recently they have found, you know, some indigenous peoples who were living like that, but you know, their environment was very harsh.
I wonder that's if so I'll... fascinating when they do. I love that. Like in the Amazon and in New Guinea.
Yes. And I wonder if Assyria was basically the harsh condition keeping the entire area from like evolving, you know, sociologically.
That could very well be true for the Near East. But even if you talk a lot about Assyria, we have to remember that compared to later empires, this is not a huge one. Mm-hmm. And for example, the Greeks are almost totally free of Assyrian influence. They will not be able to avoid Assyrian influence entirely. But they are at a safe distance from the empire. You never see an Assyrian king going through the Greek mountains.
No.
And Carthage is safe as well, and other places are safe in the other direction, like the Indian kingdoms. And so, but stuff will happen in the next decade.
All right. Well, it looks like in the next episode, we'll be doing some sports history coverage for a change.
We sure will.
All right. Well, that is it. So please, please, please go to YouTube, subscribe, like, share, tell your friends about us. Give us a review on iTunes. We will read it. Also, Facebook/Fan of History, thefanofhistory.wordpress.com, patreon.com/Fan of History. That can help us out, help us continue to make these episodes. If you want to follow Dan, he's at Dan Horning on Twitter. If you want to follow me, it's at Cerulean Says Hi.
I'll add two things there. On the YouTube channel Fan of History, the easiest way to find out is to go to YouTube, search for Fan of History, because it has some weird name. But on the channel, we do the Timeline the World History series, and I just did an episode about 6500 BC. If you think the 780s BC is way too modern, check out the Timeline of World History, where we're doing the entirety of world history starting in 200,000 BC. And we just did an episode about Chinese writing in 6500 BC. So there is some evidence that the Chinese had some sort of writing 3,000 years before the Sumerians. And check that out on our YouTube channel. Also about Patreon, if you like this and you want it to stick around and continue, consider supporting us with $1 per episode. Because if you do that and we can find 30 people who do that, we will continue beyond 701 BC. But right now, that is our stopping point. We'll go to the destruction of Sennacherib, a gigantic event in 701 BC. And then we'll have to find some other subject. And I'm right now having a big success with another podcast in Swedish about the unsolved assassination of our prime minister back in 1986. And that roughly qualifies as history, so you might get something about that if you don't contribute. But we really like to do the 7th century BC, going up to the very end of the century. But the big event in the 7th century is the final destruction of the Assyrians in 612 BC. And I would love to cover that, because there has been very few destructions so complete and total and filled with anger as when the Assyrian Empire finally completely falls in 612 BC. And everyone is there to like stomp on the remains of the Assyrians because everyone hates them so much at that point.
Wow,
so please help us cover that.
Yeah, if you have been harboring any ill will towards the Assyrians for all the piles of skulls that they have left everywhere, then help us make that happen.
Yeah, and if we can do that, we would also love to continue into the 6th century BC and cover the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And, of course, Cyrus the Great, one of the most fascinating people in world history, who takes what the Assyrians did and makes it even better in the Persian Empire.
Hey, I have several Persian friends who I am certain would love to hear this.
Yeah, Cyrus is a fascinating character.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this week. So, for this week, I am Brennan.
And I'm Dan.
And this has been The Fan of History.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon. patreon.com/fanofhistory. Just $1 an episode would help us out. Thanks, and see you next time.